He's been there for the seminar to play on the dark ring. And I understand he will be, he's in town for the rest of the day, so. So I guess you can probably question that response.
So the title again was different from the one here, but that's the way for our paper. At the end, it's about that, why it was named. So I'll begin by giving a bit of a background and motivation. Why we study those things, what are they used to, what are they good for? And I'll basically show how to construct those lettering genetic supercubes in some easy way for just putting DNA in class space. And then some of the drug solutions. I'll be talking at the end if I have time about what the discovery in this KP. And then all of the talk, I'll get on emphasizing this point for this depth about glycolysis, which is like our motivation for studying those objects. And I think they have some really nice properties which match very well in properties of glycolysis. So I think those things are very useful to study and if you understand them very well, they'll help us to understand glycolysis better. And then I'll tell you what point to do this. So maybe what else is here, you've probably seen this thing about kid friends. It's actually something which Ian Dalton did, which are basically those configurations called two-track supercubes. I'm going to do them in a split second, just in case you're not familiar with them. So in string theory, if you take some fundamental strings and some string some of the zero breaks on top of them, and you give the whole configuration some angular momentum, what's happening is that you start having a diagonal moment for the D2 break. So basically the whole configuration pops up into a D2 break of finite size. And the funny part is actually the D2 brain does not mess up the supersymmetry of the system and does not mess up the energy of the system. So basically the energy is the same as the one of the components and the supercharges are the same as the one of the components. And the main thing to remember is that the supercharges are the same SUSY as their component brains. So basically that's a very important feature which we're using over and over. And then the cross section of those guys don't need to be a less one because it's not at the beginning, but actually any closed shape would do. So if we achieve using the BBS configuration with eight supercharges and which present the same supersymmetries as the steep charge as those two charges. And this, so again, the deep brain has no effect on the supersymmetry or on the energy of this thing. Now you can dualize those things. You can basically dualize them into by doing 14 dualities, you can make them into D4 and 1 supercube which goes into D6. Or you can do some other dualities and break this into D0 and D4 which goes into an N5 supercube. If you dualize this once, transit brings, then it's like dualize transit becomes a closed prime monopole. And you have a D5 which becomes a closed prime monopole supercube. You can also make this into an FP system, which basically you take a fundamental string. You put a momentum wave on it, and basically you get some transverse on the string origin diagonal moments. So those are all different incarnations of the same object. And Matur Lunin and Saxena, Fribasca, and a whole bunch of other people, they basically map the microfit of the D5 system. So again, you have a CFP, so all these things can be embedded in the CFP. You have a CFP, you have one-way theory, you have microfit of the boundary theory, and then you have one-to-one correspondence with classical geometries. So basically, they have mapped all the microfits of the D5 system into geometries, which basically have those D5 PKN supercubes. And the different microstates correspond to the different shapes on which this KKN is wrapped. Now, the D5 system has an entropy, but entropy is not macroscopic. The entropy is of the order square root of 1/5. It cannot be captured by square gravity alone. So, again, we have to think through this different group of the longer, but I'll not dwell into that. So, here we have a system which has an entropy, but instead of realizing the entropy as some CFT thing, the entropy is realized as a whole bunch of geometries, which basically have very similar properties far away, but then as you go inside, they start differing from each other. And they basically have the same, they can basically mimic a black hole for you. And the big question, the $1,000 question, I don't know if it's American, $1,000 or $1,000, is what can you say about can you say the same thing about the D5P system? Because the D5P system is a macroscopic black hole. It does have a big horizon, geometry for light, has all the properties that black hole have. And if you can map the system, if you can get microstates, if you can start the same animals for the D5P system, and you can count them, and measure the entropy of the black hole, and then it would be a really big it will bring a really big change in our understanding of black holes. So basically, we should think about, and again, there's no choice. If this works, if you can know the entropy and find the same entropy for those geometries as for the black hole, and you believe it's different in NDSCIT, there's no other, you cannot escape this possibility. I mean, you just push down and throw by this, by the NDSCIT correspondence. So basically, if this is true, if then basically the black hole should be seen as statistical averages of some regular geometries. And those geometries are basically start differing from each other around the basement of our horizon is. So if you approach the horizon, you basically find all these different geometries which are quantum mechanical superposed. And basically, if you send something in, for example, it goes into all the geometries and never comes out. So that's basically black hole solution for you. And so on and so forth. Now, I'm using a lot of big words here. I don't think about two conjectures is still enough to basically understand those kind of experiments for the statistical average of microsets. So I don't think the conjecture is that simple at this point, but I think it's very promising and it points towards this direction. So again, this is our main motivation. Moreover, it averages of so basically what it tells you is that whenever you have a bunch of vector states and take such an average, such a quantum mechanical average, you get an object which has the same properties as a black hole. So basically if there's something in it, it coheres, it's absorbed. So it has black hole features regardless of regardless of what average you take. That's again more speculative, but as you see it will be quite useful. So the immediate questions are actually construct some big chart supergroups, just do that. Find other images in the body for that, or in some other way, just find the geometries. Find that you can have configurations of arbitrary shape, which have big chart as well, and present the same perspective as the components. And then, a very important thing is to compare the sizes, because what Maturi is saying is that those microstates are going to start differing from each other where the horizon is. Now, suppose you have a black hole and we turn on gravity. Normally, if you have normal matter, it's just going to collapse, and the black hole horizon extends out. So, all objects which we are used to, usually when you turn on gravity, they become smaller and the horizon becomes bigger. So, it's very hard for those to think about how they can actually grow together with the horizon. And actually, those things do, as I was just basically saying. It's just important to compare sizes, and again, it's something which can kill the Maturi conjecture in the spot, but it doesn't. It's actually quite an obvious check that it doesn't. And again, counting those things is quite hard. Some people are working on it. The next question is can you find a full solution? And David and David Edmond and Robert Edmond and Harvey Rial found the full solution for equal charges. And then they also generalized it to unequal charges in part, and I also generalized it for equal charges. And Gutowski found also this kind of black ring and supercube solutions. Juster, Matur, and also Matur students, as well as Sebastian, they found three-charge solutions using some other techniques, completely different. And as you see later, the whole solution finding field is actually converging. Moreover, as I showed in our one-minute proof demo paper, you can actually find a shape, find a solution for arbitrary shape. I mean, you can basically draw a weird shape inside an R4, and you can actually find a solution. It's quite more trivial, but it can be done. And then the last question is actually to, I'll tell later about black rings, which would basically be some, so the point is, if you have some average things, then we can tell you that there will be some object that will be the entropy of things which have higher angular momentum than a black ring can carry at all, and you just project that there's going to be a black ring without knowing anything, and then it turns out those things do exist. So in a sense, they exist, and then carry on the entropy, and we've done some preliminary work on that, and then my sense is that other people are working on that also, and hopefully I don't understand it better than we did. So, what does feature super do? It's very easy. I mean, you just take, I told you, you can have a DC0 F1 into a true supercube. You can also have an F1 before into a DC supercube. So the thing about putting three charges is that you have this type of system, can be decoralized in type of A into DC0 F1 and before. Basically, the D becomes F1 and the D1 and the D5 becomes DC0 F4. So you basically have a three charge supercube. You have a three charge configuration, and the type of charges are going to be D2 coming from those two, D6 coming from those two, and LS5 coming from DC0 and D4. So the multi-line configuration in this type of A frame, which we are using this to have the digital brain, the fundamental string along the one direction, the default brain along both directions, the digital brain, which is along the one and the other direction. And again, the second direction is any piece, for instance, a certain random part inside the R4, and the system is NS5. Now, in practice, focusing using the boring production, like the original supercomputer first described, then we have a bit of a problem, because NS5 search cannot be captured by the boring production. There's no way to just for classical boring search description of systems which have an NS5 search. It's quite, I mean, we tried to go as a thing into some other domain framework. Then it's like that goes away, but then we didn't have any very boring description. So we tried to think our way around this problem and we couldn't. So basically, the boring production is not cannot capture this NS5 charge. And I'll show you later why. I mean, some reason for which that never happened. But we just didn't instead of three charges, we have three charges in the laboratory, D26. And basically, when you bring and it in two ways, using either the D6 brain for reproduction or using the D4 brain on the video for reproduction, and they both probably give us the same result. So we are understanding those three track super tricks using again the body production of the brains. Now, if you don't have an S5 chart, you can still use dual keys. I mean, if an object exists, you can actually dualize. Into some other object, and under the usual, those things can be permitted into each other. So basically, you can get a cube which has two charges and D2D6 or D2NS5 or D6NS5 that are charges. So in a sense, even if you don't have the right, even if you don't have the description for all, I mean, you can get all the two charges, all the type of charges super cubes by two quantities. And again, those cubes are all mixed with DPS, they all deserve the same perspective as their component, regardless of the type of rate. And that way, basically, has no effect. So, no, so the only we can check that there also exist cubes which have three diagonal charges. And you can have them go to the so, how did we do it? Well, it's actually quite simple. You just take a D6 frame one volume and you turn on some cubes and you turn on an F0R, which is leaving an F1 charge. You turn on different figure away. You turn on an F1 then, which is a D4 charge. You turn on some transverse filter of four torus, and you turn on some, and basically as a result you also have this extra components due to the zero charge, and just like the boring production of this brain, it's quite simple. Now, one caveat is that we didn't make it to see an F4 5 to give an opinion, because basically otherwise you get some weird liquid brain charges instead of one. So in order to set the zero brains using the D4 brain, actually we need to use at least two D4 brains to make an opinion as for the fixed frame. But in an opinion, it's basically diagonal, it's a diagonal as a with a negative sign, and it's not too long here. Anyway, so this is actually just quite a figure, and again, actually diagonal. And as you see, this is actually one of the trust for cubes, which David and Paul and fun. When you have three trust for cubes, you only get this extra term, and you can compute the fundamental string chart by thinking a little bit more of this actually with respect to L01 and find this expression. And then you have to find that if you have an L01 equals to 1, and you can first equal this x on the torus, you basically get a Hamiltonian which ends up being equal to Q1 plus Q4 plus Q0. So this is PPS. And notice you never use these data data which is the embedding in all the supercomputer space. So basically, regardless of what data data you put, regardless of what embedding you put, you still get a BBS configuration. So the boring production just picks up at you a BBS configuration which has energy to some of the charges, independent of what G data data is. So, again, that's the level of data. I think if you're in circular, the radius of this ring goes like G string times this combination of the charges. Again, it's a two-level charge ring. Two-level charge rings are have a similar radius relation, it's just have different numbers here, but it's the same type of behavior. And notice this G string appearing in front. So, the G string increases. The radius of those guys actually doesn't increase. So, there are any other objects which one might be familiar with. But normally, if you take some objects gravitating, the more the stronger gravity is, the more it pulls those guys in. Those guys are different. Here, the stronger gravity is, the bigger they become. So, it's a very weird behavior. One way to understand it, which is pretty direct, is the following. If you can think about the circular supercomputer as being supported as being a little brain, so it's supported by the normal. If G string increases, and the number of remains fixed, I'm going to the chart, and that I will explain, when G string increases, the mass of the deeper brain becomes actually smaller, because deeper brain has some masses go like 1 over G. So in a sense, the deeper brain actually becomes lighter, so those things become bigger. And again, it's just for a while, for instance, and when you have a world which has a weird shape, the whole thing just becomes bigger. And again, usually when you have when it's called black holes, it's basically correspondence for each quarks and Wachinsky discussed. So you basically said something in the Bonifant action, the really common Bonifant action description, then you grant up gravity, and then the horizon comes, you can ask everything we have, and basically describe everything which we had in the really common Bonifant description by us using this black hole. So those guys are different. Those guys are not don't go away and basically slide on the horizon. They're actually grown together with the horizon. So again, this is part of not giving confirmation of what we're saying, because if those things are different from each other where the horizon is, this has to happen for every G string. I mean, that G string should not be, this should not change. Because, so basically, if this math happens, then all other G string can happen for it, it can happen all the way. Otherwise, then other situations, if you think about like this, like G string, those that would have matched the black hole horizon and all of the string, but they don't have either speeding or scaled up for other values. So they're not going to be good to describe the contours trajectory. So again, this point I don't even check, which, I mean, if you give it to a geographer, then you ask them, okay, you find some object which basically for my case and so on and so forth, they probably say no, because it's totally different from gravity, those things become smaller and the black hole becomes bigger, and there's no way for them to be the same object as the horizon. But again, those things are actually they do pass this rather than quickly on the test. Then there are not so for details. You can also have some cube using the non-video money for the actual four planes, and that's the point again. It's quite a long, it's not a very hard exercise, I mean, it's quite straightforward. Once you know how to describe two charge super cubes doing each other one, that's not so hard. And again, if you try to forget about that, so this description is dependent on the single translation description, so in case you don't like that, you don't need to, because you do get the right result, because all the things Chris said end up being diagonal. And as I told you, when you compare the BMD black holes, and which is a black hole which has two angular lambda, the M in the BMD is in the room. So basically, that black hole has the shape of equal shape of 5. So if you have a black hole in 5 dimensions, then you have 4 space dimensions, you can split them into terms of 2. And basically, the BMD black hole has the shape of equal shape of 5, and there's an upper bound. That's about limited by this by square root of L1 times NP. Supercubes on the other hand can have any shape, and then they can have any angle with any plane you want. You can put them in the, you can put for example J for 5 of this amount, and you can put J to fit to equal to 0. And you can find some shape for both the BMP black hole and the supercubes in the body, but actually that is quite, you can find a proper length of the variable development, which is actually going to give some estimate of how if those things in, those things are, and this problem is equal to this particular quantity. And for the supercube, again, we found this particular relation again from the Bonifant action. And as you see, it's still in the same way. So the supercube fits inside the black, the bottom of the BMP, really for a certain value for this thing, it would be inside all the time. And so on. But you know, Matu doesn't say that all the supercubes are going to be inside the horizon. It just says the statistically important part, so basically the part with most of them, I mean the ones which have the potential are going to be inside the horizon, and the rest might just fill out for quite a long distance. And you see when you go closer to the BMD power, the supercubes actually become bigger than the black hole horizon. The only thing that I'm saying is that most of the ones, for most of the supercubes, the ones which matter to the entropy, are inside the horizon. But again, if a cube fits inside, it will fit for all the values of this thing. So let's again, what you get from advertising. Now, the second thing is actually, if you look at the mapping of the entropy in the BMP black hole case, the fixed theory, the unified system, the unified P system and the black hole, are actually compared in the regime of NP is bigger than L1 and 5. Now, as you know, the supercube can have, so the BMP is equal to square root of NP, is less than square root of NP L1 and 5. which in this regime is less than 11.5. So the supercubes in some regimes of parameters, when p is actually less than 11.5, can carry more energy than the corresponding BMP black hole. So we basically, that's quite easy to do the description. And those states, again, for a very small p, when p goes to zero, they are states in the DLE5 system. And they're not drawn states by Mercator and company. And if, so for p goes to zero, they're not drawn states. So then so you have one state p minus state, you want to launch on the p in that machine. And then Mercator and collaborators did an expansion for small p. And again, for small p, it's the same thing. You have one minus state for geometry. So you basically have geometries which are basically, and so there's a corresponding thing, one half geometry and one safety minus state. But then the little role of black holes tells you that no, the black hole is supposed to just be the ensemble of those microstates, of the rest of the microstates, and there should be no, and basically the black hole is just a fundamental object which will describe the entropy of all those microstates. But as you see, there's a bit of a problem because there's a very natural distinction. Why would microstates, why would CFP microstates have J bigger than the BNP bound be described by the satisfies one geometry for microstate feature. And why the microstate which are less than this BNP bound be captured by the black hole? It's much more natural to assume that all of them, again, it's much more natural to assume that this geometry for one geometry for microstate feature extends to all of them. Again, this is some exception evidence. I mean, it's just something which, again, hints in this direction, but we're quite far away from proving what this conjecture. I'm just presenting some evidence which points in this direction. It's, again, quite non-trivial evidence. Now, the big question we asked was, if the black hole can be talking about two scriptures as a statistical algebra, I mean, however, the quantum algebra, I mean, there are many words, there are big words, but again, there's no real way to describe it in that way. But if you just assume the black hole is like this average of geometry, which have JS and JPP, is there an object which has JP and JPP, and which has a density? And again, there's one of the number of states which have J bigger than J B and B in the CFT, and they have macroscopic entropy. And the question is there an object? I mean that's something which you can see quite easily. And the question is there an object which has this J bigger than J B and B, which is so called the statistical average of geometries. And when the paper said, oh, this should be like a BPS black ring. And the moment that they asked me the paper, it was a message to people who do black things for a living, and they just told us, basically, you ignorance, don't you know that black things don't exist? BPS black things don't exist, there's a theory over that. In fact, the question was to have all the black hole present must have, the event present must have directed this thing. So then I said, okay, maybe those guys don't need to find the name of the dimensions for gravity, so we can't come to the question of here. 3 points in that direction. And then after a while, we found that the theoretical change, and actually black holes do exist, and basically David and some of the people who wrote the theorem, and other people, they basically found those black holes. So that was actually quite far away. So even if we're two conjectures that are going to be completely wrong, even if you're theoretical, I mean, even if it turns out to be completely wrong, and this is something useful, it basically pointed out that actually no, the black holes do exist, and it was useful to construct black holes. So yeah, even if it turns out to be wrong, I think it's something good for physics. Now, I'll switch gears now, from the Monero description to the Spagnolo description. So if there are any questions, there's some other point to address them.
Yeah, so
you
said that there's
okay, so what can we do for solutions of those things? People like Mercator and people like I've been working on this for a while, they have to try to get a solution by using usual solutions to generative techniques. So in the DLE5 system, for example, you can do that because you can have the LP system which has been solved quite a while ago, it's quite unfair to get a solution. Those solutions are quite complicated and basically you can obtain them by dualizing the LP system. So you have some raw solution and you can dualize it to that and you get something new actually. Sorry?
You found that?
No. So the original solution, something and some dead pieces was. I don't know if they know.
So the ground hit that was.
Yeah, that's right. The dead pieces I think so. I think not. So they found the solution, and then Mercator actually extended the result of it.
So Calamari, don't
you? Yeah. So basically, again, you're lacking the feature system, but in the feature system, things are actually quite a bit more difficult. And now, there is an approach to the community, which is basically saying, look, we're not a super user representative for certain of the components, and you know the key experience. The form of feature that people at USC have been developing over the past, ideas. One, I'm a transcribed Christian work from this, and I did some other work. And this machinery is very powerful. This machinery can crack up really hard for a dynamic flow, like a bit slower flow, and I mean, things that the stuff which Christian did with like a general equipment flow, and those are like really hard flows. And this machinery, which one of the transcribed Christian company have developed, can actually crack up this really hard. This really hard for gravity flows. And for this, in this case, we do know the killing spinners. So we actually know that the killing spinners are basically the ones that the component brings. So this is probably the most piece of cake from the people we were using this machine. It feels like it's in the gravity of life. But, well, we didn't have anything, we didn't know anything better, so we just applied this machine and we basically placed some really nice cross correlation between the vectors and the force. And basically, we just found the vector. At the beginning, actually, I just worked on finding the vector of the supercubes in the infinite radius limit, so or in the flat limit. And then we also found the solution for arbitrary shapes. Now, those are the same equations. Also, here we studied some five-dimensional supergravity, which has some five-dimensional orbital supergravity, and the same equation was actually found by. So, on the equation we actually learned before, the thing which we found here was that they do have, those solutions do present the same supersymmetry as the black hole. So, in a sense, which I think is a key ingredient, if you want those minor mistakes to describe the tail of the black hole, you must have the killing spinners. They have to be the same killing spinners as the black hole, because they must be mutual DPS, with everything to which the black hole is DPS. Otherwise, if those skinny spinners are different from each other as we go into the center of the solutions, then you basically have the notion of the BPS with the same range as the black hole, which makes the black hole. So I don't think that's so. We think that's actually key ingredient of those things, the fact that they have the same skinny spinners. And again, the code you want for the spinner solution is actually quite easy. It's actually not to work in a body frame which that you want to have in the feed, they become the same type of D-brain or brain but with a different orientation. So we can actually change, we can put the body frame which have two brains in the 1-3, 1-5, and 1-7 directions. And then you have entire brains into the delta brains, which are basically in those directions and also in the theta direction. And I'm putting their charge densities 2-1-2-2-3, D-1-2-3. And you can just find another class using the fact that those solutions are usually DPS, whatever the black hole is usually DPS. So you can put some brain holes and then just say, okay, this brain hole has to be DPS. Therefore, there's a low force condition, therefore, the volume input just to Arduino, or if there's no Arduino, the volume input is just constant. So there's a very easy way to basically get a lot of those solutions by just putting putting some programs and basically just getting the answer quite a lot. So basically the answer that you put is basically just this is just a normal divider analysis, and then you have a C field which has these features. If you put K to zero and you put those k's to zero, then you recover the usual black hole in the usual black hole solution. So he took the 6A's around the version of harmonic parts. So this is G, T equals 0 to the minus 2 half to the minus 2 half. So I have to build my foundation. And for simplicity, you have a kind of a flat base. So you can have so those solutions have a time direction. They have 3 stories, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7. And they have 4 transfer directions, which would basically form an R4. And it's a 1-1-4 again because of this form factor. And we just put the base, we just put the base to be flat at the beginning, and then we'll see later that actually the base can be different. And again, unknowns are actually this function k, the h, and into the big h. So that's our answers, and just plug in the protein spinners. And we found that the system is actually given by 3 equations. One of them is that the free strength of k, this gr equals kai, has to be some dual. The second is that this star of p is that for p gi equals gj over gk. So basically, both on c1, it has a component which is basically star of G2-H3. Boson G2 is a G1-H3, Boson G3 is a G2-H1. So that's the second equation. And the third equation is basically one plus star on BK, which is a single random vector, is equal to this combination of the G's and the G's. And so that's a system of equations which is one. And again, this equation you also know before you are working on the first program, but we're going to talk about it after we publish the paper. So, and those are directly used by David and the other people who found the black things in the same time. Now, the basic logic of doing Hoffman for manifold test, which is the third argument, the kingspins are managed by 1 plus gamma 1 to 3, gamma 1 for 5, gamma 1 to 7. The protocol to gamma is equal to 1, so we can take this thing and we can just find that this 1 plus gamma in line 11 as well as epsilon. And therefore, this combination always analyzes for those like epsilon. So if the connection is half black, if the connection only appears in your spectrometry variations, with this combination, then you basically have to, you don't break any more supersymmetry. But again, you need a condition of this guy, you need a condition of this guy to be the same. So in the direction would be half that. And the way to find those solutions, those solutions basically have four layers. The first layer is a base. You choose a base and focus the half that format code. And again, the conditions are four to make things easier. And then you choose the network charges. The network is GR. So those GRs will need to be sent to, but notice that GR is equal to D of AR. So they satisfy BG because this time G equals 0. So now, in the case of the R4 base, your form is closed and co-closed. And therefore, it's equivalent to valid infinity and valid singularity structure. If you have two bars of infinity which die off, hopefully you want to get a logically flat solution, yes, then there's only one way to get a non-trivial G, non-trivial GR. You can now do it. One of them is the method of the topology. So you put a non-trivial topology so that the G comes from one side and comes out to the other side. So if you have a non-trivial topology, you can have a non-trivial GI. Otherwise, you have to just derive. Now, what is in the graph? This in the graph just comes from the dipole frame. So basically, the way to find the GR is just to say, I want to have a dipole frame. I want to have this polarized to this M5 rays to have this shape in R4. And you just draw a shape, any unique amount shape you want. And then basically just use ELM in four dimensions. I mean, basically, just pass on ELM in four dimensions to solve this, to solve the equation that G satisfies. Once you have dipole frames, you can actually use them in this equation. Now, one of the equation is just saying, telling that boson Z equals some combination. And normally on the right hand side of this equation for the brain source. So normally you have boson Z equals a delta function, and this tells you the brain and position of the delta function to the delta function. But now you see that you have this extra combination, GJ with GK. So what is implies is that you actually have some brain charge dissolved into those classes. So you have those dipole classes, which come from the dipole brains. And then the dipole classes have, besides, so then the real brain charge, besides the normal source term of this equation, also has a term coming from this dissolved, which has a branch that dissolved into this dipole process. Now, if you put a thermal structure, this is very similar to thermal structure. The thermal structure has some DT brains, and you have transverse HP and HT, and given DT brain density, I mean, which is the harmonic functions, actually has a component which comes from DT brain HT. So in thermal structure, you also see the DT brain charge, so long in transverse classes, and here I also see in the symmetry brain, it's much easier to see, that you have the M2 brain charge dissolving those diagonal charges. And moreover, there's an idea of limit which you can also find by solving this last equation. And if you notice, if you solve this equation in this order, first set by the set of G, then you solve this equation, then you find that then it's on both the Z plus the G over TK, and then you solve this equation. You basically have to solve three linear equations. But just in the right order. If you do them in the wrong order, then the equation will be non-linear. But if you do them in the right order, you also solve a linear system, step by step. But at each step, you use the result of the previous step as an inhomogeneous part of the linear equation. So one thing one of the features of the system is actually that the brains are, the system is linear, which is quite nice. So basically, you can also show that. Again, the way to find solutions is actually just to draw a diagonal profile, find the G's, put some brains, find the harmonic constants, and then put some angular momentum, and then just find the angular momentum. Now, of course, if you do that, nobody will get proof that my curves are also for charm, because, for example, if you try to put angular momentum, but the space doesn't have any mass, you try to spin any space, you get proof that my curves. So you must put the angular momentum at the same place where the brains are, otherwise, you know, you put trouble. So there are a few more constraints coming to, and we try to find those things. So if we find solutions of this equation, only a few of those solutions are going to be right. But usually, the stuff for most of the giant happens is actually near those superfluous. So most of the giant happens near those profiles. So if you look at the near profile, in the near cube region, and you find that the things are okay, most likely everything is okay. Now, of course, you haven't started those, and I mean, people are working over something, the more general black limb, which have an arbitrary natural shape. That's coming up. So once you find them, then you can really see, okay, the solution is nice and trivial, and it doesn't have any singularity as well. But before that, it's just a potential evidence that those things exist. Now, the last thing, so before getting to the solution, there are two aspects of the solution. So the solution is quite complicated, I mean, if you have not seen it before. There are some aspects of the solution which can be captured by the family, which is the limit, which is called the limit of the rings, or otherwise the limit of the rings are limited beyond the frame. So some aspects of the solution are captured by the flat limit, and some other aspects are actually captured by the full solution. So, one of the things we discovered about the flat limit is that, so this is the flat limit, the having a supercube which just needs to be extended from the core, like put in a box of size R, you basically have those charges in this one critique, and you have those diagonal charges, and you also have an angular momentum. Now, this angular momentum is this change angular momentum for the non-supercube case, so you have a closed supercube. Well, in this case, you have momentum in this direction. If you take this system, and you actually dualize it along the cube, so you take the infinite layer along the cube and dualize it along the cube, you actually get the 4D black hole. In a different, you know, weird representation. If you're not familiar, I don't know if you are. So the 4D black hole normally has 4 traps or 5 traps. But you have a reset of some utilizing group, which actually can be used to interchange with charges. There are the set of 8 charges that are called XI, X1, X2, X, and those Ys, which actually should prioritize the more general 4D black hole and the more general Y frame. And the energy of the 4D black hole is given by this J4, which has some 40 megalength of receptor 7, and it has like this formula. And you can actually dualize those cubes along the supercube. So again, you have a long supercube, you dualize it along, and you basically find that if you can match the charge and the letter charge in this fashion, you basically match the 4D black hole. And the energy of those on the flat supercube, which is a some formula of those Bs and Qs and K, can be actually expressed in terms of this 40 megalength of 7 seconds. So basically, so that's a feature. I'll come back to it on the next transparency. I'll discover this a bit more because I think this is actually a very important feature of those super cubes. Now, here we see that, so the metric near the cube, near the flat cube, is on the fourth R over R0 to DC, the R over the mass squared, a sphere at D6, and you also have the J4 times DC squared. So your G4 is bigger, so and again, when the charges are equal, J4 is equal to this combination, Q2 and D2 minus 6 will be equal to 4. Now, when J4 is 0, you have to mention that it doesn't have any entropy. And basically, you can look at the metric in these components, you can change coordinates, so you can put DC, you can write this J2 plus DY squared, and then you can change, from R squared equals R equals rho squared, change coordinates, and you can create an idea of free space. When J4 is different from 0, it's quite unclear, but we can also show that we still get an AGS free space from those components. And you also have an S2, and you basically have this physics floating around. So the metric near this near the flat plane actually has an AGS free geometry. So again, when J4 is bigger than 0, then you have a regular hand event horizon. And when J4 is equal to 0, then you actually have a problem, because you have an AGS space, and this interaction is actually becoming light-like. So you have an AGS space which is compacted by the light-like direction. And usually when you compactify an AGS space in a box, you have a problem, and you have a similarity, because as you approach the horizon, the sign is more traced. So you basically start having muscles, fingers, and all sorts of other junk on you, and basically you have a singularity. It doesn't come, again, the singularity is very hard. It's not a singularity of the curvature. The curvature of those rest when you made are very large. It's not a singularity of, so this programming is not, you keep breaking down these are nice symbols. But the principle, I mean, the product doesn't have a susceptibility fully, I mean, this is not a singularity. This tells you some point in the space. The curvature can also draw, so you don't lose any, you don't lose the sensitivity. Again, the sensitivity is not known for how to draw the curvature, but it's possible that most of the second full sensitivity of those similarities can be understood very, very easily. Now, what is the reason for which those things exist, actually? For which those black rings exist? If you look at the metric, they don't look at the 4D platform. However, the moment you impose the supersymmetry, the moment you ask the cube to have the same supersymmetry as the unified P system, you basically force the charges, J1 to the relation by this relation to the other side of the box. So, basically, what you're doing is that you have 4D platform bits, and you enforce each bit of the 4D platform to satisfy this relation, which ensures that the tuning spin of each bit of the ring points in the same direction, regardless of the orientation of this of the bit. You basically have a 40 gram or a 5 gram, which is like a bit of string. And you actually pass those things together in a BPS fashion because basically you have forced each bit of the black hole to satisfy this relation. So each bit of the ring is actually a 40 black hole with some joint pair, and you just force the tuning spinners to point in the same direction. So that is the reason for which those things exist. Now, this one is actually quite new. It hasn't appeared in our paper, and it's actually work in progress with Nick Warner, and we haven't published the thing yet. So we have a singularity because we have an extra space space around PG and R, and Z is actually open cube and it's compact file. Now, usually one has this kind of singularity. When one compactifies ATS, always has a singularity. And we know what they are resolved. There's a place there's a very effect by Lindley and Malaceta, which actually shows how similar singularity is resolved. And then it just ciphered a bit into this case, and then I'll come back to our system and show that the resolution is identical. So what's happening in Lindley and Malaceta is that the characters, if the characters are actually the best half of it, and to some point, you can actually describe empty brains which follow that by including the factors by the minor effect for it, held by in N theory. Now, those events are covered in ST, and as you go near the five brains, the metric basically becomes AJ7 plus S4, but however, the AJ7 is actually compactified on S3, so basically the direction along the five brain is compactified. So, if you go through the field description of the diagnosis of the field, or the diagnosis for zero brains, you basically find that you put some two brains, you put some surface field, they polarize into this entire brain, and you have an entire brain sitting on S3, and then an S4 around the S3, which basically measures the chart of the entire brain. So there's an S4 which surrounds this green S4, and then you know this S4 on the form of this S4 gives you the number of the entire brains. Now, if you come on gravity, what will happen is that this circle, the S3 which the brains have, is going to become of zero size. Because basically the metric along the brains is going to zero as you approach the brains. So as you approach the five brains, the metric of this S3 is going to become zero. So this S3 is going to become basically of zero size. Now there's another point where the S3 goes to zero size, which is the origin of this R4 where the five brains sits. So you have an S3 which goes to zero size on two ends, and it's 5/2 seconds, which is basically the segment from here to here. So that's the one you have. You have a non-trivial S4, a non-trivial non-trivial S4 for a Gaussian group, while you look at the full solution. So basically this S3, which the brain strap, shrinks to zero size, and forms this red S4, moreover, the S4 which the top of the brain sits, for Saul and for this other escort. So again, this is the original Alexander Lunin paper that's not the one that the exact solution for this configuration. So I mean, they know that this is happening, they do have the full solution. So I'm not, this is just, I mean, usually when you have the right transitions with one of us, you have topological things and you don't have a grand solution, and those things are a little more worse. This I can call something, this I can call thing, and so on and so forth. And in the other source, you do have a solution, but those things are actually, it's a lot of topology. Either you have a great and bad space, you have no more jobs, and you just have some finite sheet there because of brain polarization, and then you turn on your internal gravity, then you look at what you have there, and actually mess up the topology. The brain is a bigger from the space, the S4, the degree S4, which measures the flux, pops out, and it's going to be non-contractible. This red S4, which basically contained by this S3, also pops out and is going to be non-contractible, but the topology of the space changes. You have two non-frequent S4s, and the brains are gone. You don't see any more brains. So that's the topology question, which again was identified by brain polarization, for the models of two brains and their types, and basically the topology changes in just the classes and nothing else. The time effect comes from some topology of the non-frequent space with plus. And one explains exactly the same picture we have. So one explains exactly the same type of resolution to have in this case. So now we have a supercube which is wrapped on an S1, so we have an R4 space. And so the supercube is wrapped on an S1. We have an S2 which matches the charge of the supercube, the upper charge. So basically, have like this F23ij, which we integrate into like the upper charge for one of the factors. But we have three of those. So it's actually a bit more, we need a few more classes. And you basically have this S1, which is again zero at the origin and it's also zero at the supercube. And so basically the GCC, S1 is under the G, the zero. So again, it actually becomes zero at the location of this thing. So and that's the reason why you have the signal to begin with. So there's a transition, and at the end you just have charge where the VS2 has gone up. You have a non-trivial integral of this which is the type of charge, and the red S2 which also has four. So you have two non-contractible two spheres. One of them which is basically representing the charge of the supercube, and then another one floating coming from this contractible one sphere pinch on a segment. So the base case of this thing changed the topology, and the rest are gone, and there's no double class. The double race is just flattened on a non-trivial topology. Now, in the human plus one case, when you have the usual supercube which Dick Monaghan and David Defrenz and Dalton and the Boston discussed, in that case, you have a human plus one case, you have human plus one symmetry. And there are some other T-track systems which are found by Matul and Justo, and also by Matul Sassana and Subasta by doing special tools on the T-track black hole. And those symmetries are actually quite weird. The symmetries of which Matul found have actually an equal-talking base which has two centers, and also has more of a solar symmetry. So me and I, we wanted to generalize this solution into like a bit more complicated and just to know more general people for 2 days and a more general distribution of charges, and we found a bit more general generalization of this one platform and this one solutions. And then actually we can match those solutions which have a weird base case to the solutions we found by just having super limited class base by any more one parameter to zero. So in order to have two solutions, because it's the blow up, or otherwise the resolution of the singularity, which is this red form. So we just want to match the fact that the supercube that we found in the literature we worked on, they actually match this geometry to what we found in completely other methods. And it converges to the same picture. It shows that what's happening is that for a few rays, you just have rays in class space. One of the number of rays become bigger, those are actually transition. Those are transition and just have a new topology. And there's no more singularities. There are no rays once they just have topology. And my two solutions actually are an example of that. Now, of course, expect this transition to happen for all the validations. I mean, expect this transition to happen basically for any S1 shape. So you also expect to obtain geometry more complicated, but again, it's very hard to track through this transition. But it's actually highly indicative that those guys are actually good microstates and actually to the singularity to solve in this way. The second thing which is not a singularity, which is actually to know that the flat limit, as I said, is a 40 black hole. Now, when the energy of the 40 black hole goes to zero, it's first part of taking one of the charges of the 40 black hole to zero. And this is really the singularity, because the T charge for the 40 black hole is actually pretty singular. And we can do spectral power of that. And we can actually find the way the singularity is resolved. And very often I'm working on that. And it seems to be a very similar type of resolution to the one which people are finding for this case. So I think our approaches are converging. The singularity resolution is of the same type. So we are hearing a consistent story. I mean, by unfortunately, I'm traveling and have to do all sorts of bureaucratic stuff, but I'm a week for work on that, which could be basically, at least I understand this in my we'll be done with. I mean, we're not so close to the final, we're not so close to building our traveling vision, so that's very interesting, starting a bit more. So, okay, so the transient infinity of this cube are actually, so the transient infinity on the ring are basically different from the transient infinity. Because I told you there are some classes, so now I'm switching gears. Before talking about the flat ring, now I'm also talking about the circular ring. So, in the case of the circular ring, it's actually possible to measure the charge on the ring, which are basically given by these two eyes. And then you also have some dipole charges in the bottom, which give you a different, which basically give you a cloud of charge around, floating around this ring. And you basically have the Q1 infinity is equal to the Q1 on the ring, plus the Q1 is all the classes. And this is very similar to the Barrow-Salzman flow, so we have exactly the same phenomenon. Here it appears in detail for infinity, I mean both for Q1 and Q2 infinity. In general, we only have one dipole, but it's exactly the same phenomenon. It's programming because of the resonator term, we can have some plus which just make a brain structure, which basically behaves as a brain structure for the view of this programming equation. Also, the angular momentum has two channels. One of them is basically diagonal from the cube, and the other one is also diagonal momentum, which can be something coming from the class. So it's again a similar type of structure. And this angular momentum is basically equal for J3 and J45. If you look at the terms, they're from the same form and the same dependence. So it's natural to call this, I mean, and this is very similar to the general BMP black hole, because the BMP black hole has equal momentum between the two plates. And this cube also has the BMP part of the angular momentum, and also has a part which is intrinsically supercubic. Now, so one thing which is also quite easy to see is that the transient infinity, as the Q1 is between 3J, 2J, and J45, but we have many more factors on the ring, and actually so then Q1 is 1, and then Q2 is 1. And so basically, you can actually violate black hole uniqueness quite obviously by putting those, even by the circular, you are observing very different things. You do have black hole uniqueness like crazy. And if the whole level of configuration, which is part of that grand stuff, the one step, so basically black is a arbitrary shape, exists, then really, so black hole uniqueness, I mean, then really violent. I mean, it's not too much, I mean, you basically have shape holes, and, I mean, this is not really necessarily but it's discrete. That would be a continuous violation. So the basic black hole uniqueness is just down the plane. Now, when you have supercubes, so the way to find the general solution, the way to find the monogenic shape invariant solution is to specify several functions, which are basically the charge that is around the cube and the shape of. So you basically embed this thing inside an R4, and you basically have several functions. Now, if you want to think you have zero entropy, you must put J4 to be equal to zero, so you have to get one constraint, you have to get down to six functions. If you want to black green, you just want to need J4 to be bigger than 0. So you have to get 7 functions. So there's a huge number of tactics, there's a huge number of those configurations of supercubes and black greens. But there are more black greens than black tetrabrics. Why is that? There are two options. One of them is that the supercubes are not small of the state that you have. Basically, the black green scales on the entropy, but the supercubes are just, we found that there's a very small subset of all the microspheres possible in this system. The second option is actually, if you take them a little more seriously, the black green are actually due to a set of microspheres. So the black greens are actually not, so in Lagrange conjecture, the black hole is supposed to be an average over a certain number of microspheres. So this is supposed to spread a set. A black green is spread another set of microspheres. But the point is, if you take any set of microspheres, you still get some object which has black hole like features, and which has the same type of properties. So it's actually possible that the black greens correspond to sets of microspaces, and then the number of sets is bigger than the number of points. So the number of points is basically given by the entropy, and the number of sets is bigger than the number of points. So it is possible that actually that the entropy of I mean, again, you know, you can take this as a support from a suggestion form. I mean, basically the fact that the super black is this kind of set, and the number of sets is given the number of points. So, one of the prime examples is that if you have one hyperception, which is good for one super group, which is going to be a hyperstate of more than one black thing. So, it's actually possible to have three black codes with the same hyperstates. And basically, so, I mean, that'll be quite unusual. Again, this is very for now, I'm not really important this thing down. Those are just regulations based on our solution. So now, how can we count those? How can we count those things? I mean, first, the way to prove our projection is to count those solutions. I mean, for some people, nothing else would suffice. So, if you look at the charges, you remember we have the shape four if you look at this combination, this square minus this taking into the four. And then that's putting all charges in the order of the double charges to be equal. If you look at the configuration of size Q less than 4D, then there's no regular charge, there are close time records. The GCG is negative, and actually can show very easily that there are close time records in the system. So there's no regular charge for this case. Well, you have Q0 to 4D. So there's only one configuration, which is the maximum loading super group, or the strength. I mean, as you go here, you basically the straight Q. When you have Q bigger than 4D, you actually can start having all sorts of microstates on these two wheels. Now, why does it really took have Q bigger than 4D? Remember, these are diagonal charge. So it has to depend. So if you have this configuration, for example, it cancels on this particular ring. So the diagonal chart of this configuration is still equal to D, to the same as the diagonal chart of this configuration. And so all these things, all these shape modes, all these wheels have the same diagonal charge. But the charge then is equally sprinkled on the super duty from the zero energy configuration. So the ring match has zero energy, the number of ring match, the number of zero energy configurations starts increasing already from. So here you have one configuration and you have no battery. Here you have a whole bunch of them. Basically, you can put all these variables on the super cubes, and the number starts increasing. And at the same time, for the whole black ring appears, because again, for Q0 to 4D, you have a slightly different black ring. And it's possible, I mean, again, it's quite, so this is a nice thing to start with, if the black ring doesn't need to count the number of super cubes. So this you can actually take a spatial geometry, and you can actually put a curve around, do some motivation on top, you can actually count those motivations, using some technology done by non-Harvard, and you basically use they have used the body for that, which here you cannot use, but there's some technology which can actually help for counting those supercubes, and you can actually, for example, this particular geometry, you can count the wind cubes, and find the same number as the black hole energy, then you basically have to prove some other standards. So it's a straightforward calculation, and it's always complicated, I mean, it's not an easy calculation, and the tools are actually quite nasty, I mean, thank God for having done that, because I mean, I actually know that how, I mean, they have problems with that, for example. There are some ways of liking it from there, which are quite nice, but basically, you can actually count those really good, and basically, if this works, then basically, you are. Then you are over here, then you have proof. If it doesn't work, then I'll improve the model projection as well. So, I mean, either way you get some, either way you gain quite a lot. Now, I'm almost out of my time. We'll discuss this now for 3,000 items about black rings and alien CFT, which is basically describing them and, but I don't know, can I have 5 minutes or should I?
You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Thanks. So, the question is those black rings, they exist in the unified field system. So, the question is, let me stop for a while. Are there any questions before I speak? Again, I was talking about this one, but I mean, are there any questions about this question? Yes?
Yeah, I really don't understand this set of microstates and stuff. I mean, so if you think of the QCHAR system, the D1D5 microstate, so there is a downgrade CFT, which is quite definite, and you're saying counting is absolutely definite. So you have a Hilbert space in downgrade CFT, and you can count all the way up to some energy, and so on. So, you can compute the partition function, free energy, then electricity. So, where is where is this notion of set of microscopes there? I mean, what we count is something different. We have just microscopes, we don't have a notion of set.
But we count those things that you map into a black hole.
Yeah.
So basically the black hole and the edge of the black hole is the edge of the boundary state key.
That's correct. Now so, you're saying that there are also instead.
So basically what I'm saying is that according to the CFT, the longest prediction at the beginning was that as you reach higher state of the dualism maximum of the boundary state, it's only given to go to something in the bound. Now that's people can actually say that this is not true, that it's actually all the magnitude that you count in the boundary CFT are those one and only black hole. And basically all the differences between them are encoded in some very tiny thing with the singularity of the black hole. There's no better for this black hole. What we're trying to do here is that they take those microscopes and show that each of them is due to some geometry. And then they can find the geometries, then you should basically find the same result. Now the main question to ask is how the geometries are going to be large and big, and as big as the black hole horizon, or are they going to be something which looks very much like the black hole, and now the geometries are going to be tiny blips on the singularity. I mean, you might have actually some, the geometries might still, the geometries do have the most commonly found boundary, boundary state might actually be just a black hole. So who is saying that actually this is not true? The most entropy comes actually from the state you speak in the boundary, most entropy actually are big bulk of the rays, which are actually big in the bulk. They have the same geometry as the black hole far away. Once you come in around the rays of the horizon, those geometries are different from each other. So that's his claim and his conjecture again. It's not that he's true enough at this point. But basically each of the boundary magnitudes is counting this logistic function. So we go to one geometry in the bound. So my philosophy now is actually it's very hard to match given a set of the weird type supercubes matched to the exact boundary state, exactly quite hard. So what I can do is just define only one of the bound states I have, count them, as if I get enough to start the entity of the black hole. If I do one more thing, I basically show that there's a few number of magnitudes have the same entropy of the CFT, so they must probably be dual. But it's very hard to work on these geometries because it's very hard to basically say, I mean, this might say that it corresponds to this geometry. Because the corresponding is only following the magnitudes are counted in this. It's more important to look at the CFT, which is not the same as the geometry. So it's more complicated than to map exactly state to boundary state to bulk geometry. So it's actually much. We can just count the numbers, so if you can do that, I mean, it's actually much quicker. But yeah, it's just random, so it shouldn't be that. It's not something I mean, it takes a lot of work, but I mean, it's not really straightforward at the end. Now, of course, I mean, nobody can only say, oh, maybe there are more things, but I mean, those are the things that are obvious to us, and the fact that they are rational matrix solutions actually quite hints at that they're actually the key ingredients for understanding those. Understand the correlation by mapping for having the entropy. So basically I'm telling you, we can actually dualize the system to the dualism by pieces and by basically doing the dualism by clearly fitting the dualities. And then you have the quantum to the theorem of the dualism by the free charge. The third entropy is going to become the most vulnerable charge, and that will charge the only dual to become a refinery and dual brain charge, which are called the also from the original geology fire. The other is the certain thing that we want to survive the certain one ring plus the sets of combination. And the solution basically has J bar, which I'm just calling it J B and P, which is equal to this thing. And it has the J psi, which has the J B and P component and the J2. I'm being solving the minus sign of the plus signs. I mean that's independent of how you choose the pi side and you have to pick them with something. Different. So again, this cube has an entry as a black, which is something with flat. But then as you go in, you basically have an alias free process space. No. Once you go down the cell, you actually find this free configuration, which is the cube. And then if you go in the near cube region, you find another space. So actually, there are two regions to take. One of them is the near horizon region, which basically just So when I'm building the cloud object, it's a three-day server. There's another thing which is a layer 2 layer, which basically does loose the power of the sound of the cube and just goes away the rest of the shape. So here on the starting layer CFT, we want to take the near horizon limit. If we can start to throw in the one in the harmonic function of in this case we throw the one in the harmonic function of the Q1 and Q5 and basically throw away the one keep the one in the harmonic function of the Q1. Now this is the one maybe of the 35 pieces and if you know it, strictly don't know it, I mean I can explain it like the minutes. It takes quite a lot. So this is actually the best described by this thing called an effective string. So in order to describe the system as like a non-stop and entropy, it's better to think about this effect when you have an effective string of length 10 and 5, and this string is broken into integer lengthwise. And this component is four pointers, which are dollars on the right, versus the left, which are basically chunks of base and four transverse symmetry, and then you're not limited by these relations. If you look at those string bits, the ground state, you can actually have geometrical plus or minus 1, geometrical plus or minus 1 for each of them. But then once you have momentum, the momentum theory is fine, the other momentum will be more like moving to be just for symmetry. If you can have both breaks for symmetry, if you get momentum by both level as a right over, you actually break for symmetry. So if you have momentum, you must have geometrical to 0 and geometrical for being non-zero. So in the geometry 5, you can supercube, which we never discussed. We basically put Q3 and V23 equal to 0, then there's a 5, GXI is given by this simulation over DT, and this is true in the CFT, breaking the effective string into components of the DT, where DT is the level charge. And we basically break from Q1 to Q2 over DT components, and each component has the J0 analytic and the momentum align in the same way. So you basically get angular momentum to be able to exactly this J5 combination. You can also align the angular momentum of the pitch differently and then you get some energy and then you get a really type of cube. So that's how we discuss it here. But you have to say very quickly, which is actually the one which will be promising one, which is easier to understand, and all the J's are all the pitch aligned in the same direction, so it actually has angular momentum only in the side direction, nothing in the side direction. Now, the DMD graph, on the other case, is actually described by one component string. So, basically, this dual channel and five directed string, instead of making it into like bits and pieces, you actually have only one string. And you put basically momentum on it when you're telling what the left of the pointers. And basically, those left of the pointers are then momentum of only minus 2, which translates to five J5 equals to minus J5. So, basically, the polymers which carry momentum must have any momentum which are equal, and then you can find them to this thing to be given by this particular expression minus J square. So again, we have two things. You have a super cube where basically you have things broken into bits, small bits, and then one is carried by the zero poles of those guys. And then the DMD graph where actually have one long string, and then you want to scale it by this level being mode. And again, the graph has equal angular momentum. Now, what about the diagram? The diagram has two chunks. One of them is the DMD line. Like, the angular momentum has like two, has a DMD type chunk. And also has a super DMD line part. So, the angular momentum seems to be made of two components. And also, it's possible to point you to see that you don't get a macroscopic entropy by just having small bits. You get a macroscopic entropy, which you can see in the geometry, like those super cubes now. You must have a lot of effective things somewhere in the picture, because otherwise, for just thin bits, you don't get enough entropy. So, the thing that I just noted in that you put okay, it's more, it doesn't quite natural to just project that the string has is made of two components. One of them is a new string, which has a P, which is broken into like 10 bits of size, little f, little c. And the other is a big P string, which is just one long string, which has no, which can be done for the whole momentum. Now, the P string has components of like c, so the j of the new j is given by the cube over the string. The BMDB string on the other hand carries the momentum, and carries J BMDB, and also an entropy can be read off by, in the effective string picture, the previous picture has to be given by L BMDB times 15 minus J BMDB squared, so that's the same formula that happened in the previous data, just in case LDAP by 205. So the BNB district has an algorithm which has to give my my formula. So just using the parameters that you are up. So I mean again, if you parameterize the incremental in terms of using this, you can use JQ equals 2 on bar 2 bar over 2G. Now, this is the exact super cube bar, because I mean, Q on bar and 2 bar on the chart is on the cube, and this is the network chart. Then the LDAP is actually found exactly to this formula, squares of 2 on to the G and delta minus gamma square. And then we can just increase complexity and see how much we can really get along. So if delta equals to gamma equals to 0, so basically if you have no entropy, LC, the length of the whole square is exactly given by DT, the same as in the 2 cube with 2 charges. You can compute the cube and BMDT, and you can actually find the lead in order to report the BMDT string. So basically the BMDT string here is its maximum possible length of momentum and has no entropy, and the cube string here is all the cube bringing momentum and also has no entropy. So again, this is 0 entropy state is max. And also, I mean, indeed, LC equals to DT, then the super. So that's quite natural to see that this is that it works. Now, if you go away from this point, from the zero entropy point, you can find other zero entropy points. Putting delta equals putting this information to the zero, or you can take gamma to zero and delta different from zero. And you find this person for the entropy, and then you find that you want to match the entropy, taking LC to DT to DT doesn't work anymore. So our point was we can match things on a line. So one parameter space is basically contained of this delta and this gamma, and we basically match things on a line, and this we see the match in the parameters plane as well. So we make a logical assumption saying, okay, in order to match anything in this case, there is a assumption which has the direction of the component space is not given by this thing. So this tool will just be able to match the theoretical cases. Or otherwise, to match this, or only the element to 0 piece, however you want to take it. And this is again something which might be testable. I mean, some of the friends have been developing this technology, which they basically throw some wave packets at this trunk, and then they come out and they measure the delay times, and they can be known from the delay that it's in the CFT length of the component string. So they're not going to basically match those things, but it's very principle this. When one has a lot of stuff right now, it will be even testable. At the regular point, and then basically the same numerological assumption gives us the right entropy for the multi-dimensional case. So we get one assumption which works for the zero entropy case, basically stands for all the cases which do have entropy. So we think there's something there. Again, we have a proof for the logical assumption, but that gives us the right assumption. And I'll let you all work on this. I mean, if you feel this part of the strength of this, I'm about to see it. Okay, I'm not really following with that, so then you're going to start getting other so, basically the blue things, conclusions, so the blue things are actually the things which, when I'm talking about the red things are the ones which I want to take away from this seminar, so we are taking away the physical supercubes of the atoms within the difference. And then this is the size grows with this string. Again, it's very unlike any other gravity object that we have seen. Basically, the size becomes grown together with the black hole, the horizon. So they have a very peculiar feature. The gravity solution are given by a linear system. Again, it can be made linear by solving in the right plane. The charge of the total mass length is the one faster. So this is again a very peculiar feature. You can then arbitrary shape black rings, like I said, the preliminary analysis would not have to wrong with just putting arbitrary shape black rings. Maybe there is no stuff on the analysis, and you're always in the Hungarian working on basically finding that is going to be exactly, but we have, I mean, we just have the preliminary investigation, so that those things seem to be okay. And again, the string rate is made of 40 black objects, which have some, the kinetic is made in the same way, but just glued together. So it's possible for the central black rings to just be 40 black objects. Put together, and that only gets down the grid. Basically, it's just a word. There's no point. And in 5% is strength, there's no black hole weakness, and that's something which basically this whole black hole weakness has revealed. And in any case, the description now of the things I would like to put this around that we have this event frame, and basically there's a very brief description saying that the event frame breaks into two parts. One is the Duke, one is the BMPV. The Duke here is the difference of JS between the parts, between the two directions. The BMPV here is that. Now, a few things to do. First of all, there is all similarity, which is fine by putting this configuration, and our evaluation is almost done with this. I mean, we have a disposition to move from brief to analytical topology, and we can also resolve similarity with the 4-bit black hole with the limit on the world chances of 0, and I think we don't get the same result. Okay, the common mode bias, again, it's actually quite, I mean, it's quite hard, but I think it's global, and I mean, I think in a few months we'll be. Have can improve any description? I mean, can you actually improve this description? Can you find a solution again to deep water? And our students are actually working on that, and they're actually finding a solution for arbitrary shapes and nested nodes. So this looks like something which I think is quite global. Just thinking about biological protection, I think that is something about those super cubes. Well, you have super cubes that have two diagonal charges. There's a certain relation, it's basically Q2 over D2 equals, I mean, basically one of the ratio of two Qs plus D2 to the ratio of two diagonal charges. Otherwise, we get both time records. Now, again, let them take two Qs, which have again two diagonal charges, and taking them very far away. Now, each of them has this ratio satisfied, so that's Q1 over Q2 equals D1 over D2. So each of them is happy, in the sense that they don't have any good time records, I mean, they are very reasonably far away. And then we start bringing them over, and you can choose Q1 over D1 of one of them, and then Q2 over D1 of the other one, such that when you bring them together, these quantities will be valid. So we sort of So basically, the diagonal charges are heavily related by this formula, Q over D6 equals Q0 over Q4. So you can take two rings, two factors, far apart from A, where they just belong to each other. And you can actually find that indeed each of them has a satisfied relation. But when you add, when you bring them together, the sum of the keys and the sum don't need to satisfy this relation. So, so you can have these ratios. The ratio value. So in principle, you can bring those things from far away near each other, and probably this is type of records. Because again, if this thing is not respected, basically you do find both records. So maybe you can bring those two things and just bring them very slowly towards each other, and then you just get to that value in our production. I don't hear it can be global. It can be, I'm not sure what the result is, but it would be nice to see either way. In this case, it would be a big result. Or otherwise, if it doesn't happen, it's going to be something very non-trivial. I mean, there's always a factor after the facts, or even something very weird to avoid this phenomenon analysis. So I think that's again something we need to do in the future. So I think it's
yeah, so I mean, as you said that when GS increases the size of the supercube increases, and that's something special, but I thought that even for the D1D5P system, if you increase GS, the size, you know, for example, the area that they
went to, that's right. That's right. No, so the event horizons are the only thing you can increase when you increase GS. What I'm really saying is that the event horizon comes from a superposition of chromatics, which are nice and flat enough, which don't have much smooth, they don't have any horizons, any singularities, nothing. They're just beautiful gravity solutions. So this is what we're saying, you have those beautiful gravity solutions, which don't have any event horizon. And they are basically the same far away, but then as you approach the horizon plane, where the base of the horizon is, they are different from each other. So in that sense, somebody comes to this thing where they say, no, this cannot happen because more of the time, if you try not to count it, it becomes small and the horizon becomes big.